The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Well, we're joined now by Donald Trump's nephew. Fred Trump is the author of All in the Family, The Trumps and How We Got This Way. Fred, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word. I want to start, though, by asking you about your son, William. Tell us a little bit about him, please.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And if you don't mind, I would not be happy with myself if I didn't say hi to my friends, Paul, Keith and Carolinia, who live right outside of Dublin. Thanks for asking about William. William's doing well right now medically, but here in the U.S., we are struggling to find him a meaningful day program. And this is a issue that permeates the entire country and something that hopefully with my platform that this book will allow me, that we can start a movement to help nationwide the millions of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
Yeah, what age is he and what sort of level of care does he need?
William is 25 years old now, which is hard to believe. He's a beautiful young man. His level of care is he is in a wheelchair. He needs assistance with pretty much everything he does. He is able to bear weight, but he needs assistance to take steps. He needs assistance to brush his teeth and to feed himself and to bathe himself.
And that becomes a bigger burden as he gets older and as you get older as well, doesn't it?
It does. And obviously not just to me, but to anybody who's has children or adults, parents with disabilities. So caregivers are essential. And that's why we are looking ways to better fund caregiver pay and to train caregivers better.
Now, in fairness to your uncle, Donald, he has given money, hasn't he, to try and assist in William's care?
If you don't mind, and yes, there is a medical fund that was set up for William back in around 2009. But the issue behind that, the financial issue, is that Donald cheated my sister and I out of my grandfather's inheritance that was to go to Mary, my sister Mary and I. So the money that I would have rightfully gotten back then would have been used to take care of William. Instead, I needed to go to them years into William's life because of the expense. And basically, the way I look at it, ask for my own money to care for his grandnephew.
And has Donald Trump ever shown any interest or concern for your son, William?
He will. When I used to see him, he will say, "How's William doing?" But he has never asked to meet William. When William was in hospital, 3 weeks he spent at a hospital called Mount Sinai, which is where I was born and my other two children were born. Mount Sinai was a half a mile radius from where all my aunts and uncles lived, and none of them came to see William when he was in that hospital in the neonatal intensive care unit.
And why was that? Why didn't they?
That was about the time right after my grandfather died. Literally, William was born the day after my grandfather was buried. So the plan had been hatched and was ready to be put in action to take Mary and me out of my grandfather's will. So I don't know if it was guilt or what issue, but they just never came. And to this day, had never even asked to meet William.
And what, and this is, I think, the bit from the book which has shocked people the most. What is it that Donald Trump said to you as William's father about what you should do in your care for him in the future?
Yeah, thank you for asking. And it's always a painful story to tell. The fund was running low and I called Donald and I said, you know, I just want to let you know in a few months, it's going to go for that the fund was running dry. And he pretty much immediately said, "Your son doesn't recognize you. Let him die and move to Florida." Now, I can't explain how a human being can say that about anybody, least of all his grandnephew.
What did you say to him when he said that?
It was a hard comment to wrap your head around, but my comment simply was, he does recognize me, Donald. And with that, the conversation ended.
And shocked as you were at the time when he said that, how have your feelings about that evolved over the years?
If Donald could say that about his nephew, I myself and my wife Lisa and I thought that thought process probably permeates with other people who don't have to deal with issues like this, like we have to deal with William. And when I say deal, William again is just he's the most courageous and inspirational person I've ever met. But we're one of millions. Each family that has someone with disabilities needs help. So there are, I'm sure, people out there that are not dealing with this. I don't know if they would say, let your relative die, but there's not enough care in the world, in the country, I'm sorry, at this point, to raise a movement to help folks. And that's what we're trying to do.
Because when he made this comment to you, you had access to him in the White House. It was the time when he was president, wasn't it? When you were lobbying on behalf of families who need greater support.
Yes, we for literally 3 months after his inauguration, and thanks to my cousin Ivanka, we started meeting with cabinet secretaries and others in government to behind the scenes get some movement in caregiver funding and ho housing issues and the such. And it's interesting, part of it was leading the charge in prevention, which leads to efficiency, and by that I mean less cost, better care. So that to me, that's a very bipartisan issue handled in a very bipartisan way. It culminated in a meeting in the Oval Office with a group of advocates for the complex disability community, and we spent 45 minutes with Donald and one of the cabinet secretaries of Health and Human Services. And the meeting ended, and I was asked to come back in to sit down with Donald. And he said, those people, all the expenses, maybe they should just die. So that was before the comment he made to me. So again, it was chilling, but it's what happened.
You mentioned Ivanka there, your cousin. I mean, in the Trump family overall, do you maintain contact with each other? Is there a degree of civility and understanding towards each other which may not have been there, according to this book, in previous generations?
For years I had good relations with Eric and Donnie, my cousin Donnie. Ivanka, who I think is a really wonderful young woman, not as much. And it has nothing to do with personalities, just our lives didn't intertwine as much. Certainly this book is going to test the bounds of that those relations. And we'll see how that works out. But my sister and I have always, and I think it goes back to the fact that my father was an alcoholic, and that was embarrassing to my family, which is tragic in itself. And because of that, my sister Mary and I were pretty much treated like second-class citizens. So when Donald or his part of the family say the Trump family, it doesn't necessarily include Mary and I.
Yeah, I've spoken to Mary on a couple of occasions previously, and she has explained some of these family dynamics to our audience here on The Last Word. But the reason I brought Ivanka up as well, and you mentioned Eric and Donnie, is that the two lads are very prominent at present in Donald Trump's re-election campaign. But Ivanka and her husband Jared, who were very much part of the White House furniture between 2017 and 2020, seem to have disappeared. Should we read anything into that?
I have been in touch with Ivanka because she has had some comments in the press, basically parroting what I'm trying to do. You know, community is everything. I think she needed, and this is me talking, okay? This is not any conversation that I had with Ivanka, so I certainly don't want to speak on her behalf. But I can only imagine how difficult it was to get into that environment wanting to do positive things and get beaten up trying to do that. It's rough and tumble to say the least. So I applaud her efforts. I know she wishes she could have been more successful in what she was trying to do. Perhaps like me, and I have always loved politics. I, in fact, was years ago, someone in the family said I was supposed to be the politician in the family. But I think now she may want to try to do things outside of the government. And pretty much like me, if I have a national platform now, I'm going to use that for the good, because I think you need to start a movement to get policy done in this country. And for me, policy always is more important than politics.
One last thing, Fred Trump, and these are linked questions. What type of president do you think your uncle Donald Trump would make if he was to win a second term? And if he wasn't to win it, if he was to lose, what do you think would he do?
Let me add a third link to that. And you may have heard this. I will be voting for Kamala Harris, and I will be campaigning for her if asked. I think a second Trump presidency, and I'm going to put that together with the Republican Party, that is certainly not the Republican Party I knew as a kid. I think very bad, dangerous things could happen. Dangerous, I don't mean physically dangerous. I mean danger to our Constitution, to the freedoms we have, to rolling the positive momentum we've had in environmental rights, in female reproductive rights, in controlling gun issues. Donald hates to lose, Matt. He hates to lose. And if it is deemed that he does not win re-election, he's not going to go away. He will continue to fight on, believing that he is the rightful president, and he will run again in 2028.
Health permitting. Okay, Fred Trump, it's fascinating stuff. It's a terrific read, All in the Family, The Trumps, and How We Got This Way. Fred, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.